name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 31st of August 2009 and the time is 8:30 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
I'm Andrew Loretto. I'm 38 years old. I'm from Belfast originally, but I currently live in Huddersfield in West Yorkshire.
And what is it that you do up in Huddersfield?
I work as a theatre director, which means I've lived all over the UK and I work internationally as well. So my journey around the UK has taken me from Belfast to Glasgow, Edinburgh, Cardiff, and I've now been in West Yorkshire for 10 years. So currently I'm director of a theatre company called Choll Theatre, based at the Lawrence Battley Theatre.
And how are you enjoying your work in the theatre there?
Yeah, we've had a very busy summer for 2009. In fact, I've just come down from our latest performance of our show. We've been touring an outdoor show to festivals. We've been at Glastonbury and Lime Tree Festival, and we've just come down from Mintfest in Kendal. So Choll Theatre makes work that engages with our local communities, with young people, with the public, professional theatre work, but quite often it's participatory, it's installation based, street work, working with young people, etc. So living in West Yorkshire is actually a very interesting place to be based in terms of the professional arts world, because we've got fantastic cities, you know, on our doorstep, you know, Leeds, Sheffield, York, Scarborough, Manchester, Liverpool, you know, that whole part of the north of England is a great place to live and work.
And have you always worked in a community or participatory way, or is it, have you done other kinds of theatre directing?
I mix everything up. I don't view participatory and young people's theatre as being separate to, for want of a better term, professional theatre. I've worked with the National Theatre Studio, I've worked with some of our major repertory theatres like Plymouth Theatre Royal, Sheffield Theatres, Sherman Theatre in Cardiff, and various others. And I always seek to connect the work we're making with our audiences, because theatre is a living beast, so it's in my nature to want to make that contact. And a lot of the work I've done has been about working with particularly emerging artists in different contexts. Sometimes that's young people, but emerging artists can emerge at many different ages. And so a lot of the focus has been on new writing or new directors, designers, etc. Because I've also run organisations like the National Student Drama Festival. I was director for that for 3 years and worked with the Sherman Youth Theatre and run new writing venues, etc. So I suppose my interest is in new work and bringing artists from different backgrounds together to make new performance work. And so whether those artists come from community backgrounds or whether they're very experienced professionals, I don't differentiate. I'm excited about that mix and how we bring those people together.
And what was your background?
Well, I grew up in Belfast, and to be accurate, I grew up in Hollywood, which also always sounds very exciting. It's Hollywood just to the east of Belfast. And I left at 18 to go to university in Glasgow. And I grew up during the Troubles, really, you know, 70s and 80s. And the professional arts scene at that time in Northern Ireland was pretty limited. I took part in theatre through school, which is quite a common way to start, I guess. You know, people quite often get their interest kicked in through school or through youth theatre or, you know, participatory work on a local basis. But there wasn't that much available locally by way of opportunities at that time. So going to Glasgow was an extraordinary learning curve, because I was there during the whole Glasgow City of Culture period. I was at university from 1989 to 93. And like all students, I had to work part-time to pay my way. And I wanted to work, if I'm going to do part-time jobs, I'll do part-time jobs in a theatre, because then at least it's useful as well as, you know, paying the bills. So I worked part-time at a place called the Tramway Theatre, which is a wonderful big old industrial tram shed that's been converted into a performing arts space. And I got to meet and see the work of artists who I'd never heard of before, but of course who are internationally known, such as the Wooster Group, Robert Lepage, Peter Brook. It was just an incredible time. So that was as much a part of my education and training as university was. So it was a fantastic city to be in. And I got together with friends and we set up a theatre company, we made new work, we raised the funding, we toured it. And I think, to be honest, I always advise emerging artists to do that as well, is get together with like-minded colleagues and simply get the work out there, because it's the, you have to be a self-starter, I think. There are people who will help you. And I think theatre actually is a lot more benevolent than sometimes people think it is, in that there are a lot of people out there, experienced artists, who will pass on their skills, will give you the time of day, will support emerging artists. And so, yeah, that's how I started and have kept going ever since.
And what is it that you enjoy about your work and get out of it?
I think it's a way of me being able to be proactive politically in society, because I think all theatre is political, with either a big P or a small P. And it's a way to approach issues of concern or of interest or to everyday people on a local, national, international level. And so it's my way of giving something back to society, of contributing to the debate in terms of how we live our lives. And I hope that the work I do is doing something to challenge preconceptions in a good way and to develop people's thinking and awareness of the life we live and how we live with each other. And so that's what ultimately motivates the work I do. And equally, that's what motivates the reason I work with young people and community groups as well, as part of the process, because I see theatre as being not a luxury, but being very much part of the fabric of society, because I think art in general is as important as schools, as the health service, as all of those public utilities we depend on. Because if you remove art out of the equation, I think our health and our well-being as a society and as individuals would suffer.
What is it about this project that appealed to you?
I've been aware of the fourth plinth in general for a while. I visit, although I don't live in London, my work brings me here quite often, and I've got a lot of friends here. And I'm a member of the National Portrait Gallery, so I always come to the Portrait Gallery when I'm in London. I love it, absolutely love it. And so Trafalgar Square is a space I'm pretty familiar with. And I went to the exhibition, was it a couple of years ago, when they were showing the different options for the fourth plinth. And of course, Anthony Gormley's One and Other was one of the options. So I was intrigued by it then. But I have to say, I didn't for one moment think I would do it. I just sort of thought, well, that's interesting, and I'll maybe, you know, watch, you know, if it ever happens. And of course, then that bid won through. And completely randomly, I was in work one day and I just thought, oh, I'll look up the website, check it out. I'd heard about it coming up in the news, and this was before the project had started. And I saw you could apply online, and I didn't give it a huge amount of thought. I just kind of thought, oh yeah, what the hell, I'll put in an application. And quite quickly afterwards, I heard I'd got a place. So I thought, oh crikey, I'm going to have to do something now. So actually, I kind of thought properly about it once I'd got the place. And it's a really nice opportunity, I think. I respect Anthony Gormley's work a lot, because politically, I think it chimes in with my approach to art and to theatre in terms of respecting the dignity of individual human beings and society. And I also respect the fact that Anthony Gormley works throughout the UK and doesn't do all of his work in London. So I really like his work. And so it's exciting actually to be part of that. I've enjoyed watching snippets of the other participants. It's a challenge when you give people complete freedom to do what they want. It actually restricts your thinking in an odd way. It's the same in theatre. If you're devising a piece of theatre, if you put restrictions, if you put parameters on what people can do, it empowers their thinking. But when you're told you can do anything you want, initially you go, oh my God, I haven't a clue what to do. And I'm someone who is full of ideas. That's my job, you know, is to devise projects from nothing. And I was really struggling because I'm used to working with other artists and advising them. But suddenly I'm in the position of I'm the person who's going to be up there because I'm not a performer. I work with performers. So actually, I found that a real challenge, a surprising challenge. And I was mulling and thinking, my God, what am I going to do? And initially I thought, oh, I'll do something to publicise the show that we're touring at the moment with Chol Theatre, because we've been doing an interactive Edwardian tea party, because that's my kind of default position to publicise my work. But then I thought, oh no, that's a bit boring actually, because that's my job and this is a chance for me to do something. And then I thought, well, I enjoy making work that's participatory. And then I saw the time slot was 9 a.m. and I thought, well, there's not going to be very many people there, so I'll do something that's participatory online. And that was the genesis of the idea. To then it came quite quickly.
And what is it that you've decided to do for the hour?
I've decided to do a participatory project. I've called it Off Your Chest, and I'm inviting people to text me, because I reckon that would work both online and if there is anybody live near the plinth, they can take part, to text me their guilty secrets. And I will write it up in a very large whiteboard and share it visually with the square. No names, entirely anonymous. And so it's a chance for people to share whatever they want. Maybe they want to tell someone they've always loved them, or maybe there's something they simply never had the guts to say, but I'll do it for them. So in a way, it's opening up the project beyond me to other participants. So I'm not the performer. The performers are actually the people who send me the words. It's their words are the performance. And I know this project is open to 2,400 people in total who will physically be on the plinth, but this is a way of opening it up to a few more. I also thought it's in line with Anthony Gormley's stated intentions for the project, in that he was interested in a snapshot of the nation, what obsesses people, what's on their minds. So this is one way of revealing what's on some people's minds.
Do you have any expectations about the hour at all and how it will go?
I think I'll just take it in my stride. I'm slightly scared of heights, so on a very practical level, I'll get up there and just assimilate for a couple of minutes. I lost my sight in my right eye 3 years ago, and so my coordination is a little bit wonky as a result. So I'll probably just take a couple of minutes just to calm and assimilate, take in the view. I'm not going to be rushed, and then I will just take my time, I think. I'll take my time and go with the flow. As I said, what I'm doing will depend on what people send me. I'm not the performer, and the people participating are the ones who'll come up with the good ideas and be the performers, really, by proxy, be the performers. So, yeah, I'm expecting a nice view of Trafalgar Square and a very pleasant hour. I've already had comments from friends all over the UK. As I said, having lived all over the UK, this is a way for them to take part, even though they're not physically present in London. And a comment has come through from quite a few friends that they're glad that they can take part in the project. So some of them had applied maybe to be on the plinth but haven't been selected yet. Or some of them have actually said, oh, great idea, I've always wanted to talk about X. They haven't told me what it is yet. So I hope it's a way for them to take part and have a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh. I'm not gonna expect anything more profound than that. and it's a way of people connecting, actually. And that's quite important. It's important in my life, having moved around the country at all. You can feel a little bit nomadic, and I put a lot of effort into staying in touch with my friends and colleagues around the country, and so this is another way of staying in touch. But of course, it's not just about friends. There's complete strangers who'll presumably send me something, so it's a way of them connecting with the project.
And what do you think that you might use the experience to let off some of your secrets in the disguise of?
I might well do. Yep, I might well put some of my secrets in there, but I won't disclose which ones are mine and which ones are other people's. I suspect I'll be quite busy with the ones that people send me because an hour is not long. I think it'll go very quickly, and realistically, I think I'll be able to get through about 30 or 40. So that's not that many, so we'll see. But yeah, I might throw a sneaky couple in there. But I'm very good with other people's secrets, so I'm not going to reveal which ones are theirs and which ones are mine.
Will you do anything with the written up sheets afterwards or not?
No, I'm using a dry whiteboard, so it's literally here in a second, gone in another second, and I will destroy the SIM card afterwards, and all the texts will be deleted. I'm not going to keep anything. So the only documentation of those secrets will be how one another and Sky Arts are documenting the process. So that'll be it. I'm not going to keep anything myself.
And to help us get a little bit more background on you, would you mind telling us some of the other things that are important in your life? You mentioned staying in contact with friends. What else are the important values that you have in your life?
I think well-being and friendship are very important. I've lost a lot of friends, or friends of mine have lost close relatives and friends over the last year through cancer. There's been a horribly huge amount of people I've known have died quite suddenly over the last year in particular, and people who've been diagnosed. And you just become aware through things like that the transitional nature of life, really. And I think it's just very important to sort of respect that and try and try and be a force for good, I think, in the world. I always try to be an optimist. I always try to look out for other people, look after other people, for my friends, my family, as much as possible, to kind of be the better person. And it's very easy to get angry, to get het up over things, and we all do. And I'm no saint, I get frustrated and angry about things sometimes, but in general, I always try to be a glass half full person and always look, always be the optimist, always look for the best in people. In my work and my private life, that can lead to disappointments, but you get over it and you get on. So that's important to me, is to be an optimist and to treat other people with respect, whatever background they're from. And again, my own experience of 3 years ago, being attacked in Manchester and losing my eyesight and being quite seriously injured, things can come out of the blue that you never expect. So yeah, it's about respecting your body, respecting life, and respecting others, I think, is very important to me. Other things that are important, obviously the arts, hugely important. Photography, I adore photography. I'm a terrible photographer myself. I have shaky hands, as you might see when I'm up in the plinth. I've had shaky hands ever since I was a kid. Yet for some reason, I'm always the person that tourists ask me to take their photographs. And I'm always slightly dreading it because you think, you do realise you're going to get a rather blurred picture here if I take it. But I love photography and I love working with photographers. So that's partly why I love the National Portrait Gallery, because they're usually quite strong on photography, and documentary photography in particular, I adore. So the arts is a big part of my life, obviously. Outside of my work, the arts is important just as a participant, as a viewer, as a partaker of the arts. Travel. I adore traveling to places I've never been before. That doesn't have to mean international. I adore being a tourist in my own backyard. So one of the things I've loved about living all over the UK is discovering places I didn't know before, discovering cultures. I like to immerse myself in the places I live and be a tourist in my own backyard. I love that. And I think the UK is just a wonderful, wonderful country, incredibly diverse. I love the cultural mix. I love the mix of countryside, mix of architectures, range of cities, the rural urban mix and contrast. Some parts of it are challenging to live in. I've certainly lived and worked in some challenging places. Yeah, I think we're very lucky to live in the British Isles. I think it's just an incredibly rich, diverse country, in terms of its peoples and landscapes and urban areas.
And are you able to describe what this opportunity means to you to be one of the 2,400 plinthers going up on the plinth?
I think I'll be able to, I would be able to answer that afterwards. At the moment, I don't know actually how I feel about it, other than I suppose slightly nervous. Which is inevitable, and because I'm standing up on top of a very tall piece of granite in the middle of a very public square. It's extraordinary, actually. One of the things I'm aware of is the history of this square. This square is the epicenter of any political demonstration or protest or event there's ever been, really, in London. And you think of all those iconic photographs of trade union demonstrations, CND, labour movement, whatever it might be over the years. So it's funny to feel that in a tiny, tiny way you're part of that line of people who get up and do something in this square. So I suppose that's quite an honour in a way, because it's not going to happen again without being arrested. It's one of those things I'll know with the benefit of hindsight how I feel about it, because you'll put the experience in context. At the moment, I'm just going into it open-minded and hopefully enjoy it.
Okay, well, thank you. It's very close to your time, so we'll finish there.
Okay.
Thank you.